You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
We're back. Hey, welcome to Boggy Talk. We're so thankful you're... I can't even do it. I'm so out of practice.
I don't think you should host this anymore.
You know what? Maybe I will pass the torch. So... Hey,
ooh, nice Olympic reference.
Yes. We're in the. I've been watching the Olympics a lot. And
have you?
I love the Olympics. Well, I shouldn't say a lot because I have about 10 minutes of free time every day right now. But I do love to watch the Olympics, so I've watched the highlights. It's been good. But anyway, welcome back. This is season 5 of Boggy Talk, and it's a little different because it's not just the boys. It's the boys and Kelly. Hello. You can say, you have to say hey too. Yeah. So,
hey, Boggy Talk.
Yeah. So we are joined.
It's Boggy Talk Nation.
Boggy Talk
Nation.
Yeah,
okay, sorry. Okay.
Speaking of Olympics, Boggy Talk Nation.
All of our sponsors have made it possible for Kelly to join us.
That's right.
We have a bigger budget now. Thanks to.
Our budget for Boggy Talk has doubled.
Yes.
Zero times zero.
Zero times two is zero.
And Kelly has joined our staff team over the summer as our ministry. I'm going to get your title right, correct? Ministry coordinator? Ministry director?
I think it's communications coordinator right now, right?
We're changing things, so it's kind of in flux.
What exactly do you do here, Kelly?
I'm not really sure.
Listen, she's done a lot already in 2 months.
That is true. That is true. We're so glad, for real. I people have been, like, commenting on things. I'm like, yeah, that's because Kelly's now on the team.
Yeah, because it's not like not living in my head. We have awesome folks who do communications. You know, Emily is our communications assistant, and Josh is working, like, he does video stuff, and they're awesome. And now you're like helping give more direction than my head could explain to anyone. So this is great. Man, we really do have an awesome communications team. Like,
we do.
They are all stars. So, so she's joining
us. No one's ever going to complain about communications ever again.
No, we have solved them all. No one ever complains about that in a Baptist church.
Any organization, I think. Communication is the biggest complaint, right?
Right. I didn't, like, when people were like, we didn't know. I'm like, well, we literally said it every week on Sunday morning for the past 3 weeks. So have you been here? Oh, I didn't know. Okay, there you go. There's my salty comment.
Want you to do is they want you to do it right before the sermon, but in a way that doesn't disrupt the flow of worship.
Can you make these announcements and make them sound spiritual?
Right before the sermon.
That's how the Nord Red keyboard came into existence.
That's our charismatic friends.
That's right. Can you just play that Holy Spirit pad on the keyboard to make make this announcement sound really spiritual?
And this Friday we'll be having a potluck. You gonna do that? You gonna bring that to the team?
I don't know.
Kelly's gonna rap our announcements on Sunday.
That would be fun.
Little known fact about Kelly Brown: she likes some rap music.
I do.
That's why she's on Boggy Talk. Wow.
I didn't think that was gonna come up today, but.
Oh,
KB, so we can really call her KB. Then.
That's
married to Chris Brown. So.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're gonna. So what's gonna happen over the next few weeks is Kelly's gonna start hosting and ask questions, kind of generate some content from you guys who are listening, and help us be a little more organized, and also she'll probably prevent some weird things, but present just another great. A solid voice in the conversation. So we're glad you're here. Really quickly, before we dive into...
And her husband has given her permission to speak. Just
so all right.
Yes.
Joke
very
there.
Excited I'm up here.
Chris is smiling right now as he's listening to that. Just like, yeah. So really quickly, why don't you just tell us quickly about you, your family, who you are, and how you guys got here to Church on Bayshore, and...
Who your favorite rapper is.
That's right.
I don't think I can say that.
But you do have to talk to the mic a little bit
okay,
more.
Okay, all right, sorry. So, I'm Kelly. I'm married to Chris Brown, and the nice one. And
he is a nice guy.
He is
Chris
a really
Brown.
Nice guy. We're going to get him on this.
He'd love that. Yeah, he'd love that. So, we have 4 kids, Jackson, Aaliyah, Tia, and Evangeline. And we've been in this area pretty much my whole life, but just kind of been in Niceville, grew up, then was in Cressy for a little while. In 2019, we moved to Freeport, and then we joined this church. Well, we've been here for about 2 years, so yeah.
Awesome. And you joined the staff team this summer, and you actually, prior to this, were teaching. So just really quickly, why did you want to work at a church?
Yeah, why? Why in the world would you do that?
Why? Why would you leave the easy, luxurious life of a teacher? Yeah.
Oh, man. Well,
why did you go from one underpaid job to another?
That's a good question. I should think about that. You know, it's as crazy as sounds to say, like, that it was a God thing. It just really was. Not this past April, but the April before, I was just at a place in life, teaching, career-wise, felt like I needed to go back, get my master's, and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, but I just kept thinking, like, well, I want to do it. It's something that I can go in different avenues. And I started teaching high school that year, really enjoyed it. It was probably my favorite grade out of all of them. And I've taught elementary, middle, all of them.
And Freeport High School is one grade?
No. I've taught several different grades. But the last one that I had was high school. So I saw the, in the bulletin, the communications. Listing. And I remember thinking, like, oh, man, I would love something like that. Just some of the prior experience that I've had with, like, nonprofits and ministry and church and things. But I had just started this new job, and I just thought, well, what's not the right timing, you know, because I had just started. And then it was still open a couple months later. It's still open. So I really was like, okay, I'm going to start praying about this now. And it just wouldn't, like, leave my heart kind of thing. And so then I applied, and
Thankful. So you really, as we dive into this kickoff episode of season five, man, it's been, we're coming on the tail end of summer. School is starting very soon. Mm-hmm. And man, just a couple of highlights from around the church this summer. We've had some great mission teams serving overseas in other states and here in our community. You just finished a video, right? Recapping all that, and we showed it in Sunday. Yeah. And so we had teams in Uganda, New York City, just great, great times there. We had Center Kid Camp. We had Bayshore Kids Clubs. We reached more families and kids than we ever have with kids clubs, more clubs than ever, more unchurched contacts than ever, which was awesome. Infuge. All kinds of things. It's been good. And meanwhile, ministries continued here on campus on Sunday mornings. So anything you guys want to add to all the craziness of summer?
You kind of hit everything.
Listen, this is my brain right now. I'm like, say it all because it'll leave really fast.
No, I think, I don't know. We had a lot of baptisms this summer.
We did.
And that was really awesome. And I just praise God for that. And that's, you know, some fruit of what took place this summer, but also just what parents have been doing and ministries have been doing and people have been doing, ultimately the Lord through them. So that would probably be, you know, the highlight of the summer. And then the New York trip, I got to lead. I was planning to go, but ended up leading since we didn't have, you know,
student ministry. That's right.
And, man, it was great. It was really great to hang with our high schoolers. And it clarified to me moving forward, I actually would like to take, we'll probably make it a smaller group and it be more leadership focused. And take a group of our high schoolers every year on a mission trip and like, yes, do missions, but also really create some intentional time to teach them, not me teach them, but expose them to other teaching and just hang with them. And part of that is also for me to build a relationship with them so that, like, when they go to college, they feel like, hey, I know a pastor I can reach out when my professor is saying something crazy or my friends are all deconstructing, you know, or whatever it might be. So anyway. So that was great. And then, Kelly coming on board has been awesome. And then I would just say, like, I feel like there's a lot of togetherness in our student ministry and amongst our student ministry leadership. And a lot of that has to do with you and Tira and what you're doing behind the scenes.
God's been gracious.
And so I'm really – I mean, we don't even have a youth pastor, and I'm super excited about what the Lord's doing there.
Yeah, we've got some
numbers are like growing again. Like, yeah, it's been great.
It's been good. And we this past week had a life group leader meeting for students and got to spend time with them. And man, we have like, it is an exceptional group of leaders for our students. And I think I'm really excited about that. I'm like, I want all of you to be a part of my kids' lives and influence them. Like, they just, and one of the things
I
shared.
They kind of are.
They kind of are, actually. I hit them all.
Yeah, four in student ministry.
One of the things I share with them is like, hey, it's so cool as our kids are growing in independence as they should. And, you know, like, And our, not that our influence as parents changes, but they receive things differently as they get at middle school and high school, and they need outside voices. And I'm thankful that we have like really solid people doing that. And also because another great perk is that like they see the dysfunction of our own family, and they get around them, like, and they'll see it in yours too, and it's just great. Like we, but also that we complement each other. We're all different, and they get to see different relationships and different ways of doing things, and it's good. And man, it's just, it was a great time. So
yeah, Kelly, anything for you?
Well, I was just gonna say, you know, doing the videos and all of that, I thought there was a lot of activity going on, like a lot. And that just took so much manpower and the volunteers and people just serving. And I mean, that's a lot of time, and it's summer for people. And so I'm just so thankful also that my kids have had all those opportunities, you know, through the church, and that they're I'm thankful for everybody that's been involved.
Really quick, as you're talking, one thing that you did get to be pretty hands-on with was helping support the women's ministry and their weekend that they did. And so thank you. And thank you to the team who did that. And what's awesome, I mean, it was a great weekend for all the women who were a part of it. But one in particular, there was a salvation at the end of that weekend.
Yeah, I know.
Someone who came kind of just heard about it randomly. And it's a really cool story. So we thank you for being a part of that and helping support them and the women's ministry team.
They did not sing Breathe by Leanne Rimes.
I was waiting, couldn't get
their
it.
Opportunity.
You know?
Oh, well. Missed their opportunity.
Next year. There's always next year.
Yeah. So, yes.
Leanne Rimes, whatever happened to her?
I'm sure she's like in Vegas or somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's probably
she's
where
probably
she's
there
at.
Next to Celine. Yeah. Who, by the way, so we're going to talk about some cultural things that happened over the summer. I don't know if you watched. We're going to talk about the opening ceremonies in a second. But I will say,
you're such a fanboy.
No. I've never been a Celine Dion fan.
Oh, really?
What?
No. I'm like,
kind of like the male Celine Dion.
That's hilarious. Maybe that's why I'm not a fan. Maybe you just took me back to middle school and some deep hurts. I'm just kidding. But she's saying at the end or toward the
end. I heard.
She
about it.
Killed it.
Oh,
and
really?
Given like you know the challenge that she's been walking through health wise.
Yeah,
Wow. Anyway, I don't know why. What did we just say that made me think of that? Anyway, we're talking about
Leanne Rimes.
Leanne Rimes, yeah, Slinging Neon Vegas. See, this is life right now.
Yes.
So a lot of things have been happening here. So we're going to just hit some highlights of culture over the summer. And none of these are, controversial or have people's opinions at all. But we had the Trump assassination attempt.
I know.
So
it was funny because you said to me one week, you're like, man, I wish we were recording Boggy Talk right now. Just because like there's actually
there
content.
Was like a lot of crazy stuff going on. And so we had that in everyone's thoughts and opinions on that. And
So first of all, if you've read Leviticus, there's a scripture passage where there's ear on the left, blood on the left ear of the priest. No, I'm just kidding. That's ridiculous.
Oh, gosh.
You see all that?
There are people posting the, it happened at 6:11 in Ephesians 6:11. I'm like, you could literally do that for any time of the day with any chapter verse. Like, come on, guys.
It was funny when we went to the baseball game and I preached Philippians 4:13 that day and the Wahoos were getting their butts kicked.
Yes.
And then number four came up to bat, got on base, and then number 13 came up to bat, and we really got into it.
So. Yeah, and we were saying things like, it was the day you preached that. And we're like, you can do all things, like, you know, claiming it. And I was like, just look, the score is 11 to whatever. And I was like, and if you subtract that, it's 4. And if you add them, it's 13. It's a sign.
Yeah.
People do that.
They do that
a lot. They look for that. But I would say, you know, for the assassination attempt, this was a very big deal culturally.
It was.
And I think.
Is.
Yeah, there's still ramifications.
Gosh, Justin, don't move past it.
I'm not trying to.
Celine Dion sings and you forget about our country.
Dude, she killed it.
It's really good.
But
you just had tears.
I didn't cry. I just was like, wow.
Take me now, Jesus.
Listen, listen, you know, like when you just can appreciate, like, man, she... vocally what that took. That was impressive. So anyway, moving on from Celine back to Trump, just I think some of the ramifications of this culturally, what this did, this really brought about a lot of support for former President Trump in his, I think it kind of solidified a lot of support, maybe some people who were on fringes. He kind of became, it kind of was a definitely momentum for him. And I do think it led to, the second event that we're going to talk about is President Biden resigning from the race. I do think that the assassination, the assassination attempt and the surge, the popularity for Trump put pressure on the Biden camp. That's my assessment of that. So that leads us to that. You guys want to say anything? Y'all are like, no, Justin, you're just going to keep talking.
Go ahead.
You're smiling like
Kelly, go for it. Your first Boggy Talk, just jump right in.
What do you think about Biden resigning?
I honestly think that it was from his debate because it was after that first debate that even his supporters were like, oh,
yeah, you're right.
What is going on here? Yeah. So, and then maybe the, you know, that second part was just kind of like the straw.
Yeah,
but,
I think that's right.
Straw. Yeah, I think maybe it just finally got to that point where they had had enough conversations with him, you know, and decided that, okay, I think it's time.
There's a lot to say, and I think, like, without trying to, you know, it is reality. I think, like you said it, even his supporters were like, hey, it's time. It was pretty obvious after that debate, I think. And, you know, and I don't have any ill wish toward Tom. I wish he would do well, and I wish he would govern well, and I wish he would be well. But it was very obvious.
We talked about this. Like, I hope if I'm healthy at 80 that maybe, like, I could be a part of a church leadership. But I don't know that I should be, like, the lead pastor. And so I don't know that Biden should be the president, given his mental state. I mean, really. I mean, it's obvious that something's up. And, yeah, so I kind of feel, though, like Democrats are giving up. I wouldn't be surprised, but would be surprised if Kamala wins. I'm not a fan. I mean, one of my friends, I'm not going to say who it is, but he said, like, he keeps watching the news thinking, there are 340 million Americans, and these are the two people we have to choose
from.
And
we said that last time. Yeah, exactly. So, I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the Trump thing, I mean, it's weird. It's weird. I don't understand all of it. And then Biden, I would support that. And I just come back to it's really discouraging, all of it.
And I think we'll probably hit some political things as we go through this
season. Is something
going
on later in this year?
There is an election.
oh, the election. That's what this is. I thought it was just like a show.
Yeah.
Celine Dion was in it and all that.
You know? The variety show.
It is the most entertaining.
People in other countries do watch our country's news as entertainment. They're like, what are those Americans doing now? Like, they say it in their language, but that's their sentiment.
In like 100 years, it's going to be like The Crown, but it's going to be like about this.
And they're going to be like, oh my goodness, what was happening? Yeah, I agree. It's,
Elon Musk is in there somehow.
Somehow. How is this all related? I do think, you know, related to this, I mean, we'll talk politics. I do think what this is set up, and, you know, we have also the, you know, the prominent leaders in the Republican Party, you know, now, like, not being fully supportive of being pro-life. And so the Republican Party, that's a big shift in this. And so politics aside, I do think for the Christian, I think it's very clear now our home is not a political party. And if that wasn't clear now, let it be clear to us. Yes, there's still our faith still doesn't form how we vote, but our home is not a political party. So
I don't know if you guys were tracking with the whole ERLC, Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and the SBC. And so, like, whenever Biden resigned, Brent Leatherwood, who's the president, tweeted basically an article about how it was courageous for him to do that. And I think he was just trying to find the good in it. Well, then people didn't like that they said that was courage. Right, because he's not, you know, a good dude, and you know, I mean, anyway, and so he was fired, but then he wasn't really fired because one person acted on what he thought was the whole opinion of the ERLC. Anyway, so all that, but it's like people are like so passionate about this, right? Like whether or not he should be fired, whether or not he should have said this. And I was listening to a podcast, and I think it was Russell Moore or Mike Cosper. They said, like, what's wild is how passionate Christians get about whether or not he should have written an article about Biden's speech, but they don't get passionate about defending, like, regenerate church membership and the Trinity. And it's like, we are more passionate about this kingdom. Yeah. And I think that is constantly revealed. And I would hope that believers are growing weary and realizing, like you said, this is not, no political party is our home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you can't have one that you prefer. Yeah, and,
yeah.
Vote for,
and there's, right? You know, and we can still get along if we disagree on that. But, you know, that's what it is. All right. Next is the Olympics. It's been fun to watch the games, but the controversy surrounding the opening ceremonies and, you know, I don't know what to say because I've only read a few reports. You have it in quotes. I'm going to say the mocking of
he quoted that.
But, yeah.
You put quotes.
I did. I air quoted because there's debate about was it mocking, was it not, all the things. And, so let's talk about that.
Okay, so I watched it.
Okay.
I didn't know that they showed it at night, so I, like, watched it at 12:30, and then I was like, I could have waited, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so, and there were a couple things in there, obviously, but in one of the things in there nobody is even talking about, which I thought was interesting, but it got to that scene, you know, the mocking scene, and I honestly had no idea that was what they were trying to portray, and I know there's like all this controversy about that. I just saw, you know, what it was, and I had my teenagers there watching with me. I was like, so we turned it off during that part. And then it wasn't until like the next day that then everybody was saying, oh, they were talking about the Lord's Supper. I didn't even realize that until people started talking about it. So, and then there were a couple of other things too that they were like, well, this meant this, and this was, you know, supposed to be an analogy to that. And I was like, I didn't, you know, Yeah, there was definitely things in it that made it not family friendly. But I guess there is that controversy about did they go in trying to mock, you know, that, or did it just happen and people blew it out of proportion, you know, all those things.
Yeah, I didn't see that part live either. I was watching part of it and then had to leave to go pick up a kid from work. But I did see parts of it leading up to the part that I saw that I was like, we're turning this was the whole, there was a song and it was very obvious from the beginning. And it was like it ended with like the menage a trois, which the French, you know, like it ended with basically alluding to these two guys and a girl having a threesome. It's like, how is this
on the Olympics? Okay.
How is this a part of cult? Like, I don't understand.
That
would
have flown in Atlanta.
No, I was like, this 96, but I was like,
now it would in Atlanta.
This is like not, like, whoever decided that was a good call, bad call. Like, that's just wrong. And I missed the other part, the later part. And I actually was that night, picked up the kid, picked up from work. We went to the gym, and I was just looking at some articles and said, this hit the news really quickly. So all I have is reading different people's accounts of it was the Last Supper. No, it was this other painting. And I honestly have not spent a lot of time looking into it.
I thought it was just a bad production of The Greatest Showman. Like, that's what I thought it was when I watched it. No, I've been sitting on this one. I'll just say this. God is mocked more by Christians who take the Lord's Supper and communion and don't love their neighbor than he is by secular people doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, I think we're always, like, just so quick to jump into this being offended by culture who I don't say they are trying deliberately always to attack Christianity. I just think they're trying to elevate themselves, and that attacks all religion. And I think we're just so easily offended by that, and we're not quick to examine if we're really walking with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would just say I was like, man, this is awful. And then I'm like, okay, well, they said they didn't mean to do that. So, you know, I mean, all right.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And then, and then you're honestly what I read, it's like, I feel like I tried to read like both sides and stories and I felt like both sides weren't telling the full story. It's like, I don't know. Like,
but then what was weird, the Andy Stanley thing, that was weird.
Yeah.
He's like, you owe apology to the West. I'm like, no, the West is embracing this. I feel like you're trying to.
Yeah. It was.
Like, what are you doing here? Like, we're really getting it now. Yeah. That was weird of him.
That was to speak so boldly about. I know he's usually not that, like, forthright. Yeah.
About
was,
anything.
Yeah, about those things. Still, it was very interesting. So.
Well, it makes me, and it kind of brings up your point. Like, I feel like, and it's something to ask, you know, myself, am I spending more time tearing things down, you know, trying to pick things apart,
right?
Or am I sharing the hope that's out there? Like, what's the balance there? You know, and I feel like especially on social media, the opposite is like, let's attack and tear down, and yes, we need to bring light to truth, and but at the same time, like, am I putting the same amount of energy into sharing what the hope is that we have? And
Paul was provoked by the Holy Spirit when he saw all the pagan idol worship in Athens, you know, and I just think, like, I'm provoked by that to say these people are trying to say, no, we belong at the table, right? Like, no matter who, if that's what they were doing, we belong at the table. And it's like, you do, but not by bringing Jesus down, by realizing Jesus came down to us, right, and invited us to his table. And when you really realize who he is, like, you're willing to say, I lay everything aside at that table. And I think, like, it should cause us to say our culture, I mean, that's France, but, like, our culture is right behind it. Mm. Our culture is so lost, you know, so.
Yes, absolutely. So,
what can we do now as
school starts? So now school starts. We're going to wrap it up here. Yeah, so school is starting. How do we be intentional in this school year?
When they mock the Lord's Supper at Niceville High School, right?
It could happen. Yeah, but how do we help our kids?
It
could happen. You never know. You never know. These public schools. Just kidding. I have 5 kids in public school. So, so how do we even teach that school year? So I'm going to start with you, Kelly, because you are a parent with 4 kids in school. You're working, and you've also been a teacher. So what's some great advice?
Well, I'm just going to go, like, practical.
Go practical.
Logistical here. And I actually, preparing for this, I asked my kids.
Okay. Oh, yeah, look at you. Because I was like, I love having someone prepared.
I was like,
prepared.
What do you guys think, you know, would help us? Just because, I don't know, you guys know the scene in Home Alone when they're all, like, trying to run out of the house. Like,
that's every what day. It feels like.
That's what it feels every like. Day. And I don't want to feel that way, you know, all the time, especially with school. So the kids were, I was like, what, you know, will help you be prepared for the next day? And so we were talking about that, like, that it starts really the night before and getting everything ready. I mean, down to, like, everything. Because, well, you guys know, when you have multiple kids, it's, like, this exponential amount of trying to get
people out
the door.
It doesn't double. You're exactly right. It doesn't double with every kid. It actually is exponential.
Yeah. So just that part of it, like, logistics, practical things, making sure that, like, we prepare for the next day, the night before. And then also just trying to take – I think that for us, and you guys are all in the same season of life, we have kids that are, like, older and that have sports and – jobs and their own lives, and then you have these little kids too, and so just trying to, like, make sure that we've got some time, all of us together, at least once throughout the week, and that's going to take, like, intentionality for sure.
That is very difficult at this stage of life, for sure. Yeah, that's good. Intentionality, be prepared. Mr. Ross?
I wrote 3 words: intentionality, and, you know, those things, and then also just realizing the reason Jesus has us wherever we are is to look for people and point people to Jesus. So that starts with our kids. And then also, you know, and so, like, in all that chaos, we cannot lose sight. Like, our primary job with our children is to make them disciples of Christ, you know. So and then the people God places around us. And then presence. And this is a word for me, like, in the craziness of all of it, like, every moment, like, be present. If we're on the field as a spectator, like, who's around us, you know, if our kids are there, like, don't be on our phone, like, watch them, like, homework, you know, help them, like, spouses especially, because that's so tough, you know, like, presence. And then lastly is, I would just say this, like, you need to regularly be in church, you need to regularly worship, because it tethers you to your identity. And God's designed you that way, and so do not let all the things take you away from that. And if you're like, but man, Sunday I just need to sleep, then you got to change something about your life so that Sunday can be the day that you don't feel like you just need to sleep.
That's good. You had 3 words, I got 1. Chill. I'm just No, I mean, really, I would say this, like, man, the older I get, I realize, like, in myself, and we have to temper this for our kids, like, the fear of missing out is real, and, like, we have to temper our expectations. And I think that there are so many wonderful things about where we live, and one of the hard things about where we live is that there is a constant pressure that I think we all feel, and I think a lot of our kids feel, to keep up.
That's right.
And we as parents are responsible for helping not put that pressure on them and helping them deal with that pressure that
they do
feel. So I would just say it's okay if your kids not involved in everything. And I would pose it like this. I shared this with over this past weekend with our parents of our upcoming 5th graders going to 6th grade in transit weekend. And I'm sharing, like, we have dreams about what, like, we talk about what when we ask our kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And a better question is, who do you want to
be?
But I think an even better question, I ask parents, is like, who do you want your kids to be when they grow up? But an even better question is, who has God made your kid to be when they grow up? And to keep that in mind as we parent, because even my desires for who I want my child to be can be a little distorted.
That's good.
And because we'll default to, like, they need to do what I did. And, what, you know, no, I want them. They're different than me. I want them to love the Lord Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Follow, but also to exercise who he's made them to be. And, you know, like, not to be like everyone's special, but really, like, God has wired our children so uniquely. And it's our job as parents to help them not feel like they got to be like someone else or like us, but they got to be who God created them to be. So chill and roll in that.
Listen, you may not really be the male Celine Dion.
Near, far.
But that was a Celine Dion level closing to Boggy Talk.
Oh, well, nice. I appreciate that. Yeah. Our every night in my dream.
I've still never seen that movie, Titanic.
You've never seen Titanic?
No. Nope.
You're, you know.
Wow.
I can't believe Christy Ross has not made you watch Titanic. She probably doesn't like it either.
She's going to watch a three-hour movie.
Yeah, that's true. I can see that. So, hey, welcoming us back into your lives for season five of Boggy Talk. We do value your questions and your input, so send it to Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at churchonbayshore.com. You have a name that people can spell 400 different ways.
That's true.
Churchonbayshore.org. We'd love to have some questions to help us generate some content, and we'll be back with you soon.
Next week.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.